The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Due to budget issues, Eric's been replaced by a cranky secondhand robot named Dr. Nuts and Bolts.
We assume you won't mind, but if sparks shoot out your radio, you'll know why.
So stand back.
And now, here's Eric 2.0.
Hey, folks. Welcome to another bunker video edition of the Eric Metaxas Show on radio or on video. If you find us at the Eric Metaxas Show on YouTube, you can watch these videos. You can see what we're wearing. You can see what we've done to our hair. Or what we haven't done. It's gruesome. So I'm talking to Albin here. We've got Chris Himes in Jersey, Albin in Westchester. I'm in Manhattan. James, our engineer, is someplace in Jersey, but we're not sure where. Okay, so we've got Sam Sorbo coming up. Remember Sam Sorbo?
Yeah.
She's the wife of Kevin Sorbo, whom we know as Hercules. Right.
Yes.
And
yes.
She's going to talk to us about homeschooling our kids during this time, because a lot of people are forced to homeschool their kids, which is like a nightmare if you don't feel cut out for that. So she's got some really spectacular tips and ideas and things you can download to make it very easy. And I thought we've got to do that. In hour two, we're talking to our journalist friend Terry Mattingly about what is Easter going to be like without people in churches. He has some brilliant ideas also. On that, we've got to talk about a letter you got, or that we got.
Right.
Can you read the letter about Alexa?
Oh, I can. This is just wonderful, because you know you can now get Eric and the Eric Metaxas Show on Alexa. So, a friend of the show, Mark Neubauer, he wrote this to us. Yes, I love listening to the program, and with my
I hear some background noise. Somebody needs to mute. I don't know who that is. Okay, so. People can listen to this program on Alexa.
Yes.
Right. Now, I forgot all about that. We should be saying that more often, because a lot of people have Alexa and they're bored and they go, hey, Alexa, play the Eric Metaxas Show. And right. Boom, this show comes on. I mean, it's amazing to me that that's the case. But OK, so evidently it's true. So this guy writes to us and says.
Yeah. Mark Neubauer. He says, yes, I love listening to the program. And with my Echo Dot, I can listen 24 hours a day on Alexa. What's funny, though, is after I tell Alexa to play the Eric Metaxas Show, I hear Eric's voice saying, hey, did you know you can listen to the Eric Metaxas Show on Alexa? Apparently, you did, because go ahead, you're listening. When he says Alexa, when you say Alexa, the device goes silent because it thinks that somebody is giving her a new command. So I have to always immediately turn down the sound after I say, play the Eric Metaxas Show, or quickly it goes out.
So if Alexa says the word Alexa, or if someone like me on a radio program says the word Alexa, if somebody's listening to this on Alexa right now, we're driving them crazy.
Right.
That's hilarious. Well, it's good news, though, that we're on Alexa. Right. Oh my gosh. And now, Chris, you had something you wanted to say. A lot of times we like to bring on to this program, you know, before we get to Sam Sorbo, before we get to Terry Mattingly, we want to go to the big guns. There's some intellectuals out there who are just, you know, they're putting out some information, you know, during this strange time of coronavirus quarantine. And so, Chris, what do you have for us today?
Yeah, it's a story from probably one of the cultural giants of our time, really of my lifetime, Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, literally a giant. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. So there was an article in one of the UK papers today about he's been raising eyebrows on his Instagram. Recently, he's been posting some, I would say, Christian or religious ideas. And he wrote just yesterday that in 3 short months, just like God did with the plagues of Egypt, he has taken away everything we worship. I feel like I need to do it in his voice. But anyway, God says, you want to worship athletes? I will shut down the stadiums. You want to worship musicians? I'll shut down the civic centers. You want to worship actors? I'll shut down the theaters. There's still Netflix, by the way, but you get the idea. And then he goes on to say, you want to worship money? I'll shut down the economy and collapse the stock market. And then he finishes saying, you don't want to go to church and worship me? Then I'll make it where you can't go to church. So, and then he ends with the verse, if people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then he'll heal their land, et cetera, et cetera. So it's interesting that the Hulkster's getting, you know, using his pulpit.
I can't believe it. He should have said, you know, God was slamming us. He should have used that wrestling information.
Body slam.
Yeah, body slamming us.
The Lord is pile driving the American culture.
Oh, I was lying. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I don't know where to start, how to comment on this. First of all, are we sure this is Hulk Hogan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's him.
Because it sounds a lot like Oscar Wilde. I get them confused. Okay, yeah. So you're saying that this is really Hulk Hogan. Somebody told me years ago that Hulk Hogan is a Christian. And I, you know, and my first response was, what? But evidently, it's possible not to be a Dutch Reformed person living in Michigan and still be a Christian. See, I wasn't aware of that. So, but Hulk Hogan's a Christian. Now, there's some logical fallacies in what he says, because first of all, it's a funny, I mean, look, basically, I think he's right, but it's kind of a weird thing when you talk for God and you say, here's what God is doing. Maybe. I mean, sometimes I think that when it's a virus or something like that, I think we have to be theologically clear and say, this is what the enemy is doing. God, it doesn't strike me that God allows things or he uses things for his purposes. But this is where we get into the whole sovereignty of God thing, and it gets very confusing. But here's the point. If God is shutting down all the bad stuff and then also shutting down churches, it gets I just get confused.
Come on, Mean Gene.
What?
I said, come on, Mean Gene.
Come on. It's so funny. I do think there's great truth in what the Hulkster is saying, isn't it? Because we're all forced to do things differently, to think differently. I am eating dinner every night with my family. We don't scatter to the four winds. My daughter's not in college. And I'm just amazed at how many things are changing. And the question is, what's going to go back to normal and what is going to be different forever? And that we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, listen, if you think it's crazy that Hulk Hogan is a Christian, Evel Knievel is a Christian. I watched a video the other day where he talks about Jesus. I said, I can't believe this. Evel Knievel worships Jesus. Like, this is pretty cool. Pretty soon we're going to hear G.I. Joe is a Christian. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Or the great Garlou. Yeah.
Or the great. No, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen, Albin. By the way, Albin, you need to bring the great Garlou back. Before we get to Sam Sorbo, I just want to remind you, the great Garlou is one of the best guests we've had on this show because he doesn't talk.
No.
And he's hideous, frightening to the children. So, yeah. But you need to bring the great Garlou back.
It's so funny. I put him back in the bag and put him back up in the garage. And then you sent me an email a few days later saying, hey, where's the great Garlou? He used to be standing right behind you. So I'll have to bring him back. Yeah.
The great Garlou is like something out of a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah.
It's just something off.
Well, it was the 60s. So that's
a lot of people are wondering what we're talking about. So you're going to have to bring the great Garlou back ASAP so we can remind our audiences. I want to reiterate that the other night, my current wife and I, we rented Emma, the movie, the 2020 movie, and I recommended it. And when you rent it, you get it for 48 hours. So if we literally have watched it three times. I think Suzanne watched it three times. I think I watched it 2.5 times. And honestly, there's a moment, I mean, literally a half a second of nudity in the beginning of it. It's the guy, the young hero, Mr. Knightley, he's getting dressed and you see him naked from behind, but it's not untoward or anything. And I, but somebody commented on that. And I just want to say, big deal. It's like, you know, if avert your eyes for a half a second, it's an amazing movie. Truly, it's just such a beautiful movie. Well, oh, the great girl. Where did you find the great girl?
Is he in that? Is he in Emma?
Yeah, he's on my phone. There
no.
he is.
Oh, is that you're unbelievable.
Yeah.
Chris Himes. You're just a tech wizard. Okay, we're out of time. We're going to be right back with the great Sam Sorbo. Don't go away. Higher and higher, baby. It's a living thing. It's a terrible thing to lose. It's a given thing.
Make like a Mr. Milquetoast, you'll get shut out. Make like a Mr. Meek, and you'll get cut out. Make like a little lamb, and wham, you're shorn. I tell you, chum.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Yeah, I have a show now. And normally, it's not just, you know, in my house. We have a real show. But as you may have heard, if you tune into the news, there's this kind of coronavirus thing going around. And I wouldn't take it too seriously. But we figure we're going to stay home because it's safer. And they're telling us we have to. So I just want you to know that we know that a lot of you out there are suddenly dealing with kids at home. They used to be in school. Now they're home. Some of you have an obligation to homeschool them. We thought, how can we help you? And I thought, what about if we talk to our homeschooling expert, Sam Sorbo? Now, she just happens to be married to Kevin Sorbo. You may already know that. They met on the set of Hercules. Sam Sorbo, welcome to the program.
You're never going to let me forget that I married Hercules, are you?
I don't think I can.
Well, I can't either. I mean, I have to live with him.
Hey, let me
now more so than ever.
Hey, I didn't marry Hercules, all right? So one of us married Hercules, and it's going to have to be you. What do you want from me? What do you want? Okay, so I know you live in the same home as Hercules, that you're married, you have children, and but you have been an amazing advocate of homeschooling. I'm so impressed with some of what you've done there. So talk to us about this. And do you have a new book also?
I do. I do. We can get to that. The homeschooling thing. So I've been homeschooling for over a decade. I should say we, because it is a joint effort. Kevin teaches gym.
Come on.
He likes to joke. Hey,
what does he teach? Push-ups? Come on.
Push-ups, pull-ups, the whole thing. So we've been homeschooling for over 10 years. And what happened was I went through a transition from this person who was terribly insecure. And the only reason that I decided to homeschool was because the school that we had moved to that was supposed to be really good was underserving my child to such a degree. And it was so discouraging. And I thought, my gosh, I could fail and still sort of do a better job and have a better relationship with my child. And we'd be happier than if I just subjected him to more of what the school was dishing out. And I want to state from the top, I don't go after teachers. I think teachers are trying to do the best that they can, and most of them really just want the best for the kids. But they are working in a system that's for all intents and purposes, compromised. And
that's
so
a nice way of putting it. I would say a cultural Marxist indoctrination system. But, you know, I can say that because I'm the host. Please continue.
So, well, I go into that in my book. So after about 3 years, I wrote a book. It's called They're Your Kids, An Inspirational Journey from Self-Doubter, because that's what I was, to homeschool advocate, because obviously that's what I became. And I discovered while researching the book and everything, this cultural Marxism, you know, cultural, like, let's just remove that. It's just pure up Marxism. Why do you think a majority of our youth are voting staunchly for Bernie Sanders? It's because they've been taught that socialism is grandpa with candy. And who better epitomizes grandpa with candy than an octogenarian who says free everything?
If my grandpa looked like Bernie, I'd run away from home. I'm just telling you straight up.
So my point is that when I started down this journey, I was still very insecure. And eventually I convinced myself that, in fact, not only was I capable, but I was supremely capable, because whose kids were they? Mine. And I share them with Kevin. So ours.
Yeah. You know, and by the way, we've got to stop. I always tease Kevin. Kevin is way too good looking and well built to be as intelligent as he obviously is. Now I know. So it's just jealousy. I hate his guts. But go ahead. Please continue.
So when the coronavirus thing came out, and I realized that we had a nation of home educators, what I realized is that parents today are feeling terribly insecure. Why? Because I did. And I went to Duke University. Like, I'm no slouch, but I still felt inadequate to teaching a third grader. Okay. So first of all, I started doing videos to inform parents and to empower them. Our power has been removed by a system that has taught us that we can't do anything that we haven't been formally instructed on by a teacher standing at a blackboard or a whiteboard or what have you, right? If you didn't get that gold star on your forehead, you can't do it. And by the way, all evidence to the contrary. I mean, look at you. You're doing a talk show.
I never took any courses in doing talk shows. Come on.
And you're excellent at it.
Thank you.
And you're excellent at the radio, right? So you excel at things that you've never, clearly never been formally instructed on.
Well, you know, actually, this brings up a larger subject, Sam, seriously, and we're seeing it in this president. There has crept into the culture over the decades a very, very bad idea. And that bad idea is only the quote unquote professionals and experts can do certain things. That's never the way the world used to work. There was a time when people had common sense and they were able to figure things out and there weren't as many professionals around. But a professional class has risen and has really infected not only our education system, but even the way we think about education, so that we think, well, I've got to get a college degree. I've got to get a college degree. A college degree for many people is a gigantic waste of time, a gigantic waste of money, and in fact is unteaching them things that they already learned.
Yeah.
And so this idea that we've got to leave these things to the experts, it's total nonsense. And if we ever needed proof that the experts stink, all we need to do is see who is graduating from most public and many private high schools. They do not know things that a seventh grader would have known in 1930. So something is wrong. And I think homeschooling is the answer to this, which is why I get so excited about what you're doing.
Well, and you rightly point out, you know, we trust in experts, and experts typically, you know, you got a 50-50 shot, and maybe even less of a good chance these days. The experts were telling the Italians to go hug Chinese people when the outbreak was starting. I mean, the experts, Nancy Pelosi told people, what? Nancy Pelosi, oh yeah, they had a hug a Chinese campaign. Nancy Pelosi.
Are you serious? I mean, you're not kidding.
No, I'm not. And Nancy Pelosi told people, hey, there's nothing to fear here. Go down and enjoy the Chinese New Year with the Chinese people in San Francisco, and Mayor de Blasio, too. So, you know, you need to vet your experts. And we're not taught to vet experts, because who teaches us? The experts. They just say, trust us all the time. And that, of course, is the road to socialism, right? So here we have a phenomenal opportunity. And so I started doing videos online to empower parents because I know how helpless they feel. But I also joined forces with Texas Homeschool Coalition, which is one of the oldest and largest homeschool groups in the country. They've been at this for over three decades. And they formed a website called coronavirushomeschooling.com. And you can go there and download, it's not download, it's emailed to your inbox every morning, a full day's curriculum for your kindergarten to fifth grade. At this point, we're working on putting 6 to 12 up on the site. And it's a full curriculum. It's soup to nuts. And it's also instructions for the parents. So here's what you do.
Wait, what's the website again? What's the email, the website?
Coronavirushomeschooling.com.
Coronavirushomeschooling.com.
So don't think that it's actually schooling your child about coronavirus. It's not. It's homeschooling during the time of corona.
And it's from Texas, so they do teach your kids how to handle a six shooter, I hope.
Well, of course, that, you know.
Okay.
And how to bite a Pop-Tart into the form of a gun.
Oh, I'm moving to Texas. I've had it. Okay, go ahead.
So we've had great responses. One of the responses that we got in the past couple of days was from a gal who said, you know, my school does send home our curriculum, but it's asking my first grader to be online for much of the day. And I don't want my child to have that much screen time. So she gets our curriculum and she supplements what the school's sending home. Also, people are using it to supplement because the school's sending home a bunch of busy work or just a bunch of stuff. Or not enough stuff. And so our curriculum includes games and crafts and things that you know, fourth, fifth graders like to do as well for your kids. Because, you know, when we turn our kids over to the institution, we kind of take a step back. And this is what's kind of sad to me, is we take a step back and we stop parenting in a sense. Now, I'm not getting up on parents. Look, it's a natural thing that happens. When you're not with your child 7.5 hours of the day, there's a shift that takes place. It just does. And in fact, one of the chapters in my book talks about this idea that everything becomes a teaching moment. But it's so much bigger than that when you're homeschooling. It's not that everything is a teaching moment. It's that everything is an opportunity.
We're gonna go to another break. I hear somebody playing a slide whistle. Is that you, Albin? You never know what's going on when we're doing these things that we've got so many of us on together. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that I'm talking to Sam Sorbo. Why would you go away? Just don't.
Once there was a way.
Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Sam Sorbo. You may know her as the wife of Hercules. And she hates when I say that. And, of course, it's fun to tease people. It's just what I do, Sam. So don't hold it against me. Don't hate me because I'm beautiful. So what were we talking about when we were talking about homeschooling? You were making the point about when you turn your kids over to a school, which is what we did. To some extent, this is a fact, you are abdicating a certain part of parenting. And I think we have to review things historically. In the past, it wasn't always done this way. People gathered together and they created one-room schoolhouses because they had to work on the farm and they needed their kids to learn some stuff. And so they sent them to one. But it was like, it really, they would have done it if they could, but they couldn't. But this has kind of grown into a vast, you know, military industrial style complex that tells people that if you homeschool, your kids aren't going to be, you know, socially adjusted, which is, in fact, the opposite is true. And so that has been your experience, I imagine, that you have a healthier relationship with your kids because of homeschooling.
So that's been my experience. I have a lot of parents say to me, I could never, I would kill my kids by Wednesday and that kind of thing. And part of that is generated because they have this insecurity and because their relationship with their child has been compromised by the school. So when you drop your kid off at the school, you're telling the child, one, I'm incapable, which is sad for a kindergartner to learn about their parents. But it is, it's part of that lesson. It just is. You can't get away from that. But the other thing that they learn is that your authority no longer reigns supreme. And that's a difficult lesson for you to learn. And a lot of parents are learning that right now because their kids are now home with them all day long, right? So when the child comes home with a permission slip and says, Daddy, you have to sign this, or Mommy, you have to sign, teacher says you have to sign this, and you take it and sign it, your authority has just gone under the school's authority. And we don't realize it because this is how it's always been for us. We've always done it this way. But I got to tell you, this nation was founded by homeschoolers. This nation was founded by entrepreneurs.
Everywhere I go around this country, when I speak around the country, when things aren't shut down and I'm losing income, but I don't want to talk about that. But when I go around this country and I travel and I speak, everywhere I go, I meet homeschoolers, the parents, but then I meet the kids. And almost without fail, they're magnificent young people. And I say over and over, and I pray that it's true, I say homeschoolers are going to take over the world because they are so far ahead of the kids their same age that it's actually a stunning thing to me. And I think the homeschool movement is the great hope of America.
Well, I'm hopeful now that so many people have had this opportunity to be exposed to homeschooling. And I'm doing videos every day at samsorbo.com for this, that you take this opportunity as a parent, right? That's been thrust upon you, but let's make lemonade out of lemons, right? Take the opportunity and really test drive what it would be like to be with your kids and to really be the guiding force in their lives. And of course, that's sort of the crux of the homeschooling thing. I did it because of academics, because academics were super important to me, but that's actually not the real reason to home educate. Yes, homeschoolers score between 15-30% better on academic achievement tests. That's a statistic, right? But the fact is that your relationship with your children and your children's relationship with the world is so much improved when you're spending that much time with your child. And by the way, it's not 8 hours a day. It's you give them some guidance, you maybe go over the lesson with them, and then you send them on their way to go do the work. And then they come back. And so it certainly isn't. So K through six is maybe 3 hours of school a day for a child. More than that is like child abuse. Like, don't do it to your kids. Okay. Of that 3 hours, maybe an hour is your time. Maybe that's the time that you spent commuting. So maybe actually Corona is not even costing you any extra time.
This is going to change some stuff. There are going to be parents after this that they're going to say wisely, hey, why am I wasting my money if they send their kid to a private school, let's say? Or they're going to say, why am I allowing my child to spend hours and hours a day surrounded by idiots? And by idiots, I mean a lot of other kids whose parents aren't teaching them the values that we want our kids to learn. And we're putting our kids into that environment. They maybe don't know how to deal with it very effectively, and they're being indoctrinated by that, much less by the teachers. I think as we come out of this, we're going to see a lot of changes in America. And honestly, Sam, I think this is one of them. I think a lot of people are going to say, you know what, we're going to do this. We'll do this for a few years. Let's see how it goes. But we're going to take a crack at it.
Well, if you want to get theological, there's some theology that's mixed into this. So God's calling families back together again. The family unit was the building block of society in the Bible. And God is very clear in the Bible and says that parents should teach their children. Sorry, parents should teach their children, not the state and not the church. Now, a lot of parents are like, well, I don't know how to teach my child theology. I don't know how to teach my child the Bible. And to that, I say this. It's actually, there's a really good book that you should get right away. It's like an international bestseller. It's been around for a very long time on teaching the Bible. It's called The Bible. And seriously, all you have to do is sit down and read it with your kids. And you get yourself an annotated Bible. Get a Bible that has commentary in it, because questions are going to come up. And then you read the commentary and the answers are right there. It's like a textbook. It's like every textbook. Parents are like, well, I don't know how to teach my child math. There's a textbook. And if the child comes to you with a problem, I can't figure this out, you turn back a page and you look at how the textbook teaches the child how to figure it out. And you walk through that. And then, oh, you both know how to figure it out.
Okay, we'll be right back with Sam Sorbo. Hey, folks, I'm talking to Sam Sorbo. Sam, I'm so sorry to have cut you off in the previous segment. I wasn't looking at the clock. What were you saying, dear?
Well, I just get super excited about this because I see this as such an opportunity for parents. And so I wanted to tell parents who feel inadequate, your inadequacy is what makes you great. Your inadequacy is what makes you perfect to teach your children, because when your children come to you with a question that you don't know the answer to, you have the opportunity to show them how to find the answer. And that is equipping them for the rest of their lives. And you have the opportunity to show them that they need not fear what they don't know, that what they need to do is embrace it and explore it. And so you have the opportunity to not fear what you don't know, embrace home education, explore it with your children. You look at it as a grand adventure. I mean, parenting is a grand adventure.
Absolutely.
And I think that God gives us our children to form better adults out of us, right? I mean, the first thing you get when you have a child is a baby who just is a little tyrant and demands everything from you. You can't sleep. You have to feed me. You have to figure out why I'm crying, right? And it forms us into these people who were better than we were before.
I have to say that's one of the reasons God gives us marriage, and it's one of the reasons he gives us kids, is because he wants us to get less selfish. He wants us to be, you know, it's just one of those crazy, it's one of those paradoxes of how God creates things. And I want to say this, that a lot of the books that I write, homeschoolers tell me that they use my books in homeschool. And sometimes I'm astounded because I think, you know, my Bonhoeffer book or my Luther book or Wilberforce book, those books are not the kind of thing that I would expect young people to be able to read. But they say, no, my ninth grader read it, my 10th grader read it, my 8th grader. And I think to myself, these homeschool kids are even more advanced than I thought, because I'm truly astounded when I hear that, you know, here's my 13-year-old read Bonhoeffer. And it reminds me, too, that there are resources out there. We don't have to do things the way we think they do them in school. One of the things that I tell people is John Zmirak, whom we have on this program all the time, he writes 5 essays a week for The Stream. I would say that almost all of them are appropriate for high school kids to read. You will get a homeschool education better than anything you could ever get if you read John Zmirak's columns at The Stream. They're just that good. So there's tons of resources out there, and kids in schools are never going to be exposed to some of this stuff. You know, weaving God in to everything. And by the way, God is involved in everything. He created reality. That's not going to happen. Even in most Christian schools, they're not good at that. So I think that sometimes we really do need to understand what you said at the beginning, is that sometimes things are being done so bad, we may as well take a crack at it, you know, and we may find that we're better than we thought.
Well, and of course, when you're talking about weaving God into education, you know, our pastors need to step up, because we're losing the church, right? So 85% of youth that are professing Christians when they graduate high school lose their religion by the time they graduate college. And it's not a college problem. This is a problem that their faith is built, their houses are built on sand, right? And so if you're going through K-12 and being taught that the Bible is a series of fairy tales and that evolution is true and survival of the fittest, and oh, by the way, don't bully. Survival of the fittest.
Right.
That's the law of the land, but don't bully.
It's like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Right? Which sets up a huge contradiction in the mind of the child. Where are they going to find truth, right? And so with homeschooling, you can give them that truth. Now, I don't go after Christian schools. They're trying the best that they can also. They are trying with a paradigm that is not working. We spend more per capita on students than any other country save, I think, Switzerland. And yet we are 27th in the world. We're America. And we're 27th in the world. So when parents come to me and they say, oh, but our schools are good, I'm like, well, good compared to what? Now, there are enclaves, of course, you know, we've got middle America, thank goodness, right? That where you've got the wholesome values and the teachers are all in alignment. And even though they're teaching Common Core, they're still infusing some God into stuff.
Right.
But I'm just saying, you know, What if those teachers stepped out of that paradigm and said, you know what, I'll home educate other people's children. Send them to me. I'll give them a godly curriculum. I'll give them godly instruction, and we'll study the founding fathers, and we won't call them racists. And we, right. What if that happened? Then you'll see revival. You'll see an exuberance in the nation. I think.
I mean, that's literally why I wrote my book, If You Can Keep It, because I realized that the most basic ideas that I put in that book are not being taught in high schools. And I thought to myself, how is it possible that you can graduate from high school and not know? I'm talking basic stuff. This is not some big, difficult book. Basic stuff about what it is to be an American, what it is to cherish liberty, and on and on and on, when we haven't been teaching that stuff for 50 years. And so, yeah, there are books out there that you can get that anybody can read. You don't need to send your kids to some school. And I do want to say before I forget, there are Christian schools out there that are doing an amazing job. I visited many of them. And so I don't want people to think that that's not the case, but it's not always the case. And I just love the idea, Sam, that you're challenging us to think about what we might do, what our common sense might be able to accomplish with the kids we love.
Right. I mean, that's what it's about so at coronavirushomeschooling.com, for instance, we're offering this curriculum, right? And I like to say, we've got the curriculum. You just put in the love. If you love your children, you're equipped to home educate. It's that simple, because the rest is the adventure of discovery. And what we want is we want our children to be lifelong learners. We want them to be unafraid to learn what they determine that they need to know. And because the fact is, they're going to change careers 5 times before the age of 30, right? So if you can infuse them with the love of learning, then they're equipped. And you've got this phenomenal thing called the internet, which carries like the information of the world on it. I mean, we've got all the tools at our fingertips. We can get this done. And it's just not that heavy a lift. I tell parents, it's much easier than you think. And it's more rewarding than you could ever dream.
That is the way to put it. We're going to go to a break. We're going to take a break. But in hour two, we're going to come back with more Sam Sorbo. Sam, do not go away. We'll catch you in just about 5 minutes. Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Albin, Chris, James, we're all here. We're hanging out. And by the way, woo, I've got to tell you, tomorrow we have John the Situation Zmirak is coming on the program.
Wow.
From the Jersey Shore or Dallas, wherever he is with the Beagles. John the Situation Zmirak is coming on the program tomorrow. We also have the Pences. Now, when I say the Pences, I'm talking about Second Lady Karen Pence, and her daughter, Charlotte Pence. They're going to be on. It's an encore program tomorrow with them. We should also mention, my goodness, there's so much to mention. How we got here.
Yeah.
Albin, this Friday, we did this a year ago on Good Friday.
Yeah. It was
during a radio drama, a special thing this Friday, Good Friday. It is called Heaven, How We Got Here. And it is told in the voice of the thief who died on the cross next to Jesus, who the one who said to him, to whom Jesus said, today we will be together in paradise. It's an amazing idea, and somebody has written it into this beautiful radio play. So this Friday on this program, that will be on.
Yes. Pastor Colin Smith wrote the book, and he's going to be a guest tomorrow in hour one, too. So we're going to hear from him about this great Heaven, How I Got Here.
Oh, so tomorrow, Thursday, we're having him on.
Yeah. Oh, Wednesday. Tomorrow, Wednesday.
Tomorrow, Wednesday?
Yeah.
It's I'm sorry. Tomorrow, we're having him on. But then Thursday, we're having the Benham brothers on.
Yes. David Benham, because he was arrested. Yeah.
They're identical twins. Who cares? We're having one of the Benham brothers on. David is coming on, and we're going to talk to him about being arrested on the sidewalk because he was standing in front of an abortion clinic. They were doing appropriate social distancing, and they were arrested. Wait till you hear that. That won't be till Thursday. But I have to tell you, it is amazing to me what is going on out there. So we're going to have him on. Tomorrow we have on what?
Tomorrow's Smirak, and second hour is...
I already said that. That's right. We've got Smirak and the Pences on tomorrow. Now, you know what? I want to mention, too. I keep mentioning it. We have two big sponsors on the program, HonorBoundCoffee.com and MyPillow.com. Both of them are products and companies we believe in really, really strongly. Mike Lindell has been such a hero. If you ever order a sheet or a pillow or a mattress topper or anything not from him, I'm going to ask you why. And if you don't use our discount code, Eric, I'm also going to ask you why, because we have a huge discount code. But these people are heroes. Mike Lindell, I just love him. I've gotten to know him, and he is the definition of the real deal. He lives out his faith, which is a pretty new faith when you read his story in his book. It's an amazing story. But Mike Lindell and MyPillow.com, they're sponsors on the program. And HonorBound Coffee, no kidding. Every morning I make this coffee and I think, what a cool thing. They're giving 100% of their profits to helping military families. I mean, I still can't even believe that's true, except I know it's true because I know Seth and Pete Talbot. They told a story on this program. What a beautiful idea for a company. So if you're looking for a way to give back or give to military families, all you have to do is buy coffee from honorboundcoffee.com.
And one more thing. Can I say Safe Spaces? No Safe Spaces? That's a great movie, by the way.
I want to promote that because, well, we've already said why. But if you're looking for something to watch. Well, folks, God bless you. We'll catch you later. Thanks for listening.